Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Okay, folks, so we're ready to roll. This is a live program. We're here on Thursday, April 25th, 2024. We got Evangelist Joseph Edward and Sister Mandy. Brother Joseph, would you like to open us in prayer?
Yes, Father God, we come before you in your mighty presence. Lord, we thank you for your anointing, Lord, that descends down upon your word, upon our lips right now, Lord, that brings revelation to your people. Oh God, we ask you to take over this hour broadcast, Lord, and speak your word to us about things that concern your people. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Welcome back, guys.
Praise
the mic is yours.
All right. Well, hang in there. I want you to chime in on this one later, brother. We're going to be talking and discussing the topic of Israel. I noticed in the world here, I've been on this earth a long time now, 61 years, and 43 of them I've been a born-again Christian, and I've watched the nation of Israel go through things. And I said, you know, lately I've been hearing, and Mandy, you're here, you're from New York, Minister Mandy's from New York, and there's been some stuff in the news recently regarding New York and some protesting in the colleges and things like that. And I had asked the Lord, Lord, I need you to show me in your word where we are with Israel, because everybody's clamoring about this and that, the end times, Jacob's trouble, where are we? Are we at the tribulation period? And I think the Lord has made it clear, at least to me, where we are with Israel and how we should view what's happening there. So I'm just going to expound on this. And this is the prophetic hour where we're going to delve into some of these things. And certainly in the chat room, I'd like you to chime in if you can, if you have any question or comments. I know Shannon is watching, and we can chime in on that. Also, Mandy, put your watchman hat on, because I know God will speak to you as well. I know you have some dream and something that you want to share towards the second part of the hour, and that's good. So hang in there. Okay, so I'm going to read out of Zechariah chapter 12. We're going to talk about this, and I may pause here and there just to make note of a few things as I read. It's going to be about 10 verses or so. Okay, let's get started. So, the burden, chapter 12, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Now, notice the first sentence, it says, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus saith the Lord, who stretches out the heavens. He lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. So God is establishing here that it's he that is talking. He is the one that's prophesying here to us about his feelings towards Israel. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness, or in some versions it says a cup of poison to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples. And notice that he's talking about all the peoples. So this is a cup of poison in the mouths of the nations and a burden to all the people. All who would heave it away will surely be cut into pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Interesting. In that day, verse 4, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. Interesting how he uses those analogies, because right now Israel is burning their neighbors, basically pushing them back. Bombs are blowing up and things are getting straightened out there. But this is a time when God is actually using Judah, the Jews, to pretty much burn their enemies. So people's on the right hand and on the left. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again and in her own place. The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not come greater than the house of Judah. Verse 8, in the day of the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now notice, you don't want to mess with God's country, because he is going to fight back for his nation. It may be the Jews that are there and they're in a lot of trouble, and there's a lot of things that God is not happy with some of those over there right now. But he says it's his land and he is going to fight every nation and every people that comes against what he's doing. And verse 10 says, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And then they will look on me, whom they pierced. Hallelujah. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as only one that grieves for the firstborn. And in that day, verse 11, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like mourning in Hadad Rimon, in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, and every family by itself, and the families of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and the wives of themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and the wives by themselves, all the families that remain, and every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. Amen. Lord, bless the reading of your word and give us understanding, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask. Well, guys, let me say, that's a lot. And I think there's a lot of things that people are seeing here that are coinciding with where we are today in the land of Jerusalem. Everybody is, not happy with what's going on there. And you know what? The first verse of chapter 12 says the Lord is against Israel. You say, well, he just promised that they would come to know him. And through their persecution, tribulation, and the burnings and everything that's happening, God is literally chastising his people there. Because if you do study out what's going on in Tel Aviv and some of the lands there and what the Israel is actually involved in, it's no different than America. It's like Babylon over there. And God himself said that, you know, they crucified our Lord, which they called Sodom in Egypt. So God looks down at some of the things that are going on with his people, and he's not happy, and he's against some of the things that are happening. But nevertheless, it's his land, And God is going to have his way there. And he's going to push back the enemies and expand his land for his purposes, good, bad, or ugly. So, yeah, is Israel and the Jews getting dealt with? Absolutely. Is it terrible what's happening there and atrocities? Yes. But there's something that God is after with Israel, just like what he's after with us. Because, you know, here in America, if you haven't studied the genealogy of the tribes of Israel, we are called the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh. And they traveled down. And Channa, you can chime in whenever you like. And Mandy, you can too. As we are, when Abraham was promised that he would have the sea, his they would be the land of milk and honey. And his seed would go across the seashore, and it would be multitudes of people spread out around the world. That was a promise that God made. So the tribes are spread out throughout the world, but mostly when they came from Europe over here, they traveled down, and Paul preached, and their descendants were in Europe, and then they traveled to America. So America is part of the blessing. But also, you know, in the scriptures, there's also a curse and a blessing, and it depends if you obey. If you obey the commandments and do the statutes of the Lord, God blesses his people and the promises come to pass. But when they disobey, we come under that curse. And that's that burdensome chastising of the Lord that comes on his people when he loves them. And he knows they're doing wrong and he has to straighten things out. And I noticed that Israel now is in this really tough place where there's pressure. People are coming against them, not happy. It's almost like, like it says in the scripture, if you read it, it's a burdensome thing, a poison in the mouths of the nations. They're like, ah, Israel, the Jews, blah, 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 blah. And it's only increasing, it seems. So this is the time, I believe, that the Lord has showed me we're in. But the end result, and here's the wonderful thing about this, the end result of this is that they will humble themselves and notice and see, and the grace of God in as they are coming under this Jacob's trouble there. There's going to be a lot of things. But what is God doing? What is he really allowing to happen? He wants them to come to know him. He wants to open their eyes and turn them back to himself. And unfortunately, it takes tribulation, trial, and persecution sometimes to break the back of his people. We have a stiff-necked people. And we know in the past that Israel has been stiff-necked. We know that even things that we go through, we're stiff-necked, we're stubborn. We could talk about stories of Job, the stiff-necked pride that was in Job. God had to break it. It was terrible what they went through, but they had to go through those things. Joseph in the pit, he was a bragger. He was somebody that was like, look at my coat, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, his brothers just couldn't take it and said, you know, this kid, we got to shut him up. And you can go to Moses when Moses was in his flesh, you know, striking the Egyptian. God couldn't use him right then. He had to send them and sojourn him into the wilderness for like 40 years almost until he was prepared to come back. It's chastisement, unfortunately, Zoe, that everybody goes through. Yes.
Let me inject. I don't know what you're talking about, my brother.
Sure.
Number one, Zechariah 12:2 is not apropos of where we're at. That's a future time. And I categorically
but we're
reject
in that right now.
No, we're not there right now.
Yeah, we're heading into Jacob's trouble.
We're
right
not
now.
At Zechariah 12:2.
What's going on?
Now I'm going to make my point here. I listen to you, so let me respond.
Sure. Okay. Go ahead.
I categorically reject all these other versions. Those are bastardized versions. God has never referred to Jerusalem as poison. Now get with the King James Bible.
This is the King James, right?
No, the King James.
King James. I'm
going to read it. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. Okay. Unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Number one, nobody's coming against Jerusalem right now. Where the conflict is over in Gaza. Now, I agree wholeheartedly with your point that that is God's land, and it belongs to the Jews. People that don't understand that in the church, and I'm talking about, there's people out there that throw Jerusalem under the bus, and I won't allow that on this program. Not that you're trying to do that. I'm just saying I'm talking in general to other programs like True News. What they do is they've come against Israel for what reason? Because they don't want Israel to have the land that God gave them. Now, the dispute right now is Gaza. But But there should be no dispute at all if people read their Bible, because God specifically deeded Gaza to the tribe of Judah. Of course, they got more than just Gaza. They got Jerusalem too, but in other territories. But the siege has not been laid against Jerusalem at this time. I believe that's coming at a future date. That's down the road still. We're in a whole other conflict right now. And does Israel not have a right to the land that God gave them? I think you would agree, like I do, that they do. And if anybody has ever zoomed out of the map of the Middle East, and you see all these massive spaces of land by all these countries that border this little tiny nation of Israel, it's like, what's the deal here? Why are y'all hogs? You got all this massive land over there, and you want to take little Israel's land. Shame on you. And I'm talking about those that are against Israel. But we haven't gotten to the time where they've laid siege against Jerusalem. We're over there just in a dispute over Gaza, and I 100% support their right to take that land back. They've been warning people for months to get out of there. Saudi Arabia doesn't want those people. Egypt doesn't want those people. Iraq, Iran, go on down the list. Nobody wants those Palestinians because they don't care about them. All they want is to destroy Israel and take its land back. And Israel has dealt quite graciously with these people that are squatting in their land of Gaza. We wouldn't have this problem right now if the United States, the United Nations had not forced Israel to give up their land back in 2004, 2005 time frame. They were doing just fine. But we forced them to remove Israelis out of their God-given land and gave it over to the Palestinians, who have had 18 years to develop it, and they've used it for no other reason to develop an attack strategy against Israel and try to launch attacks. And they've squandered billions and billions and billions of dollars. All those PLO leaders over there have very big Swiss bank accounts. All these people are hypocritical. And so Israel's said enough's enough. And they're taking back the land. I think they should take it all back. And who is anyone to rebuke them for taking their land back? That would be like Zoe, you or me, or Mandy, having a parent that left us a will, in his will, that we were given some land, and then some stranger comes along and says, no, I don't think you should get that, Zoe, Shannon, Mandy. No, that's not right. It should go to somebody else. Who the hell are they to tell your father what he can do with the land that he owns and he gave to you or me or Mandy? And God is the Father. So Israel has a God-given right to that land and should use whatever means to take it back. These people over there that are getting killed, they've had months to get out. And granted, the Hamas and Hezbollah hasn't let some people out. Israel's aware of that, and they've done all they could above and beyond to give people space and time to get out and give them a corridor. But the truth of it is Iran has been using their proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas, who, by the way, some of those people in America right now, courtesy of Joe Biden and Obama and Hillary Clinton, and we've got attacks coming to our own soil, and they want to destroy Israel. And enough's enough. They've been saying, we're going to destroy Israel. We're going to destroy America. How many times do you have to be threatened with bodily harm before you say enough's enough? And Israel's at that point. And Netanyahu knows this is his last chance. So I hope that he has resolve to go all the way in. But I categorically reject that we're at that time of Zechariah 12 right now. That's at a future date.
Well, I mean, it says in verse 6, brother, I mean, it says the governors of Judah, like a fire pan in the woodpile and like a fiery torch in the sheaves, they shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again. They're taking their land back, and they're pushing back through fire. Okay, this is ongoing. This is like an unfolding that's going to be over years. This isn't just 3 years or 3.5 year period. This is a period that's been going on since the Six-Day War. I mean, this is where God is saying, I am going to inhabit Jerusalem again. I'm going to give it back, and I'm going to devour anyone that stands in my way. I am with Israel. I'm with what God is saying he's doing, okay? But also, it unfolds into the future. This is not just, a seven-year period here. He's talking about a history of what's happening since they got their land back, I believe.
Well, Dimitri Dudeman was given a vision for America, which includes Zechariah 14. So I do believe a future time is coming where they are going to go for more than just Gaza. I mean, we haven't even seen the armies approach yet. Probably it's going to include Russia. I think many people agree Russia will be one of the groups that surrounds Jerusalem and Israel. We're working our way up there. All I'm saying is I don't think we're there yet because they haven't yet laid siege against Judah and against Jerusalem. And that's kind of the problem you'll have when you're reading other versions of the Bible. Look, there's a version of the Bible out there that one person is using to say the Bible is incorrect because here, in our version, we've got Elhanan is the one that slayed Goliath. And everybody else says it was David. So who's right? Well, of course David slew Goliath. That other version was translated off of a corrupt base text. All I'm saying is, I reject all these other translations because they'll mislead you and they've proven in the end just to be inaccurate. I stick with God's preserved language in English for the last 400 years based on the Textus Receptus, not the bastardized Horton Westcott. Where am I going with this? First of all, we've got to make sure we're reading the right text. And then secondly, keep it in context. They haven't laid siege against Jerusalem yet. But that day is coming, and it warns you, if you're there at that time, don't wait to go back to your house or leave the field, go home, grab your coat. You run immediately to Petra, basically, is what it's saying. And we haven't gotten there yet, but they are going to lay siege to that place. And then there's going to be a great slaughter, rapes, pillaging. And I believe we're approaching that time. I just don't think that we're there. But
would you agree that we're at the beginning of Jacob's trouble? Do you know what Jacob's trouble is? You've defined that before.
I don't know, bro. I just believe we're over there in the birth pangs where there's wars and rumors of wars in diverse places. I think we are fast approaching the tribulation period. Some believe, though, it's not going to start until a Shemitah cycle. So there's some controversy right now. The next window for that is 2030. Now, by better scholars than I, and I'm just thinking about this, Zoe. You know, many of us have thought the Lord could come back at any time or the tribulation started. We got some saying we're already halfway through. I don't think any of that's accurate. I think that...
I'm not a fan of any of that, but I do know that when you see Israel is our timepiece.
Yes.
And when you see this type of thing begin to manifest, which is beginning to manifest, and then the nations are beginning to have issue with the way they're operating, and it says it right here that that's going to start happening. I'm not saying we're totally in this. I know this is the Battle of Armageddon where Russia and, the nations come around her, but this is the beginning with the Lord's. He says the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. He's now wanting to fix everything that's going on there because that's his people. And that's also his land. So if anybody's out of order there in any way, he's going to chastise. He's going to deal with them all because he loves his people. And, sometimes, as sons, we get chastised. We get dealt with this uncomfortable. Things happen we don't understand.
Why do you think, Israel
right now? Do we want the world to despise Israel? We do not.
Listen, they've always hated Israel.
Why is it beginning to happen?
They've always hated Israel. God's not chastising Israel right now. Israel is fighting for its right to the land. And you know what? They do suffer because they didn't obey the Lord way back when and drive out all the inhabitants of the land. That was King Saul's job, and he failed. And God kicked him out and chose another. And you know what?
Yes.
Sadly,
and he promises right here that he's going to do that again, that they have to actually take siege against this land because it's been invaded. It was invaded then. It's invaded now.
This goes all the way back to the...
And they've been through this before.
To the orders of Moses, from God to Moses. You're going to go in, you're going to drive out the Amalekites. And you know what? They didn't do a complete job of driving them all out. And so Some of the descendants are still in the land, and they'll continue to be a prick in their eye, a thorn in their side. And, you know, the Amalekites continue to be on the scene today. But my point being is eventually God's going to deal with all those people. But I don't believe this is a chastisement of Israel. They haven't done anything wrong to deserve this. Look, they've been under constant threat. I've been to Israel.
I would say if it's anything like America, and we are, Jerusalem, USA is written right there in the middle. We're one with them. We're part of the tribes of Israel. And you don't think God is dealing with America?
I think that God means what he says. I give you the land, it's yours. And they're fighting to get it back as a result of pressure from America, United Nations 20 years ago to give it up. And the fact that their enemies around there have not relented in their plan to destroy Israel. So it just went up to the next battle, and they're having to battle like they've had to do since they came back to become a nation, you know. 1948 war, 1967, 1973, the 80s war. This war continues because the enemies have not abated. And naturally, they're not going to get all the land back till Christ comes back, but this isn't their fault. I mean, they're fighting for their right to the land, unlike what we're doing in America, by and large. We're allowing the invaders to come in to the tune of 15,000 a day. And judgment, of course, judgment is coming to America. And look, the enemies of Israel are going to actually invade Jerusalem at a future date.
We know, and you know what? If God didn't come to stop it, there'd be nothing left there. There's earthquakes, you're going to run to. I mean, this is going to be a serious chastisement there. You say, oh, well, God isn't chastising the American church. God isn't chastising the saints here that are not living right. Yeah, he's going to chastise his people wherever they are. I understand what you're saying. I am pro-Israel, but there's something happening. If you go study what's happening with the Jews, the Judah, the way they're moving, we don't return an eye for an eye, evil to evil. We don't do that. And there's some things that have to be corrected, and God is going to correct them.
What are you talking
America,
about?
In his church, and also even in the land that he loves.
Why are we focusing on Israel?
I understand.
We need to be focusing on John Lindell, who brought a gay man into a men's conference. He licked a sword. He swallowed the sword. He shimmied up a pole, danced around it, and thousands of men sat there and should have walked out and repudiated John Lindell as a homosexual man.
I was there. I had 17 men in my church go to that conference. I was invited. They paid for my ticket. I hadn't been to a conference like that in a decade. I went there and witnessed the whole thing, my brother. So I'm on a bandwagon here about the condition of God's people and the church and even those that he loves, his people, the Jews. Look at Tel Aviv. Oh my God, it's like Sodom. And God's just gonna like pet it? He's not gonna pet that.
Dude, God's
gonna be some
judging Israel right now
over there as well.
They're being attacked by their mortal enemies. We just haven't seen it in America yet, but it's coming to America. And what will we do? Will we fight back? I sure hope that we do. Israel doesn't have a right to defend itself.
You know, if we do, God says there's going to be civil war. You heard it. You know what's going to happen. You know what's coming here. As equally as they're getting attacked, we will be attacked. You know that. We know the prophets of God have spoken. We know that. We've been in this a long time. So is somehow the prima donnas over there are not going to get dealt with? Of course they are.
Listen, this is not judgment on Israel.
You're right. It is God's land, God's little piece of property, and that makes a difference. And he did make promises, but they're not going to get off. If they're going to live in sin and break the commandments, God is going to deal, just like he'll do with any
what does that have
no
to do with being attacked
person.
What does that have to do with being attacked? People have run in kibbutz, beheading children, raping people. These are infidels. These are the Philistines. And we've got to decide in the church, Zoe, are we on the side of David? Or are we going to be on the side of the Philistines and Goliath? We've got far too many over there on the other side.
Well, you know which side we're on.
I don't know most of the people in the church today. Very few stand up for Israel. 1 in 10,000, including our country, including the church. Everybody is jealous of the Jews for some reason. They hate the Jews. I don't know. I think they got the same spirit that Adolf Hitler had in them. Why all this hatred and jealousy towards a little nation?
We were told to pray for Israel. Why? Because they need prayer. We're praying for Israel. We're not giving our money and military. They're giving military. They're arming them. I understand.
We should.
There's a fight going on. But I'm saying we are to pray for Israel because God loves Israel. And why would we pray? Because there's a need. There's needs. And it's going to be a tough time. So we're called to pray. And that's what I do. I pray for Israel. They're my brothers. They're the olive branch, okay? We're supposed to be being brought together in the end. The two houses brought together. In Malachi, it talks about the hearts of the fathers turning back to the sons. This is God's plan. But how does he do that? He just said how he does it. He's gonna push back the enemies, and it's going to be a tough time, and people are going to go down. But in the end, God is going to have his way. And it says they will mourn. Well, how do you end up on your hands and knees mourning? Every family mourning at the end of it all. So as this unfolds, it gets worse and worse. And unfortunately, this is the way the world is. The devil's attacking this country. And people are rising up with their mouths, not understanding. And the enemy's in there. And God is saying, here, look, this is what I'm going to allow. I'm going to allow all this to happen. But in the end, they will turn to me. All of what they go through here, Jacob's trouble, they will turn to me. And that's what we want. We want to see them turn. Just like anybody else, a family member, somebody who's wayward. What does it take to get them to turn? Sometimes it takes great tribulation.
Zoe, they had 6 million murdered in the Holocaust. Cut Israel some slack, man. Cut them some slack over there. And I'm talking about the whole body of Christ. They have been battling for their right to their land for decades now. Do you know that the British tried to stop Israel from coming back and having a land in 1948? Nobody even knows the real history about that. What about America when a whole shipload of Jews were trying to escape Adolf Hitler and his concentration camps and had made it up to the coast of America? They were turned back and all those people were executed. America needs to repent and get the log out of its own eye before they try to take the twig out of Israel's eye. And I'm talking about the church. I don't expect the secular folk to do anything. Their father is Satan. But the church of God needs to repent. Okay, this is when Israel's being attacked and down on us. Look, we want to kick them some more and say, you deserve it. This is chastisement of God. I don't agree. We're not there yet. It's going to get much worse.
Hey, brother, you know what we did in our prayer meeting on Monday night?
Tell me.
About 25 people held hands and prayed for Israel, weeping, crying. We were just loving on Israel, praying for them in our group.
Well, let's stand with Israel.
Our church loves Israel. We love Israel.
Well, then let's stand with them.
We want to see them.
And agree they have a right to all the land that God gave them in the Bible. That's the first step. And many won't even agree that God has a right to do with his land what he wants. I know others out there with a bigger platform than me, and they're on the side of the Palestinians. Oh, those poor PLO. They got nowhere to go. Oh, Israel is just treating them unfairly. I call BS on that. I call BS.
All right.
Israel.
That's good. Hey, listen, this show is no apologies, Omega Man Radio.
Well,
this is an apologetics. We debate. We talk it out. We're friends for a long time. I have some things that God is showing me, and I'm sharing with your audience and my audience here in the archive. Praise God. But we have Mandy here, Minister Mandy. Mandy, would you like to chime in and say anything at all?
Welcome
because
aboard,
Mandy. It's the half of the hour, and we promised that we would bring you in. Go ahead, Shannon.
With a preface to all, I do not budge an inch when it comes to Israel.
I don't care if I lose every audience member out there. I knew you would stick with Israel. And I was ready.
To the end. Unconditionally.
Yes.
I will stand with Israel. Unconditionally. Because who doesn't have sin? Who doesn't have gay parades? Who doesn't have compromised
right.
government members? I don't care about any of that. God can sort that out. All I know is what he's commanded you and me to do. And he says, if you bless my people, I'll bless you. If you curse my people, I'll curse you. And we've got too many people in the church that are standing against Israel right now on the side of Goliath, cursing Israel, and they're cursing themselves. And unless they repent, They will not see Jesus when he comes back to rule and reign from Mount Zion. They call Zion a dirty word. They blame all the world's woes on the quote-unquote Zionist. Well, you're accusing God because God is a Zionist. God is going to rule and reign from his holy hill, Mount Zion. The throne of Judah, Jesus sits on, is in Jerusalem, God's holy hill. It's all about Zion. Bless Israel in the world's cursing them and be blessed. And if you don't, I don't give you 2 cents for your life. So there we are. I don't compromise when it comes to Jerusalem. If people want to dog them out, go do it somewhere else. And I don't want to be within 10 foot of you when lightning strikes. Mandy, that's my preface. Back to you.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's good, Brother Shannon. Go ahead, Mandy.
What I want to share is something a bit different. I want to give testimony. I had briefly mentioned a dream that I had had to you guys last time, where I had a tattoo on my hand of Isaiah 41:10. And I feel it's important for this hour for the true people of God, because there is a timeline that God gives to us, and there are signs and things for us to watch for as the time draws more near to the return of Jesus. And it's clear that his people will suffer persecutions. There's people of the Lord suffering persecutions right now as we speak. And this causes a lot of fear and a lot of panic upon God's people of how they're going to walk forth. So that's why I believe it's important to share this testimony. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me to remember exactly what I need to say. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Father.
Okay, so this starts out around Christmas time. I gather with the family when everybody's still worried about the C virus. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say it on here. And we gather for Christmas. Everybody gets sick. After everybody gets sick, we find out it's not that virus. I'm going to try to go through it quickly. And I come to a night where I'm laying on the couch in my home, and I'm feeling very sick, very tired, but not so sick that like I need to go to the doctor. I'm starting to fall asleep, and all of a sudden I hear the Lord speak. There's this way in which the Lord speaks where the only way I can humanly describe it is it radiates through my entire being. And he says to me, I need you to go to the ER. And I'm thinking at this moment, okay, well, I know I'm sick. I don't feel like I'm that sick, but surely if you're saying you need me to go, then clearly you know more than me. Maybe there's something going on that I don't know about, Lord. So if I really need to go, I'll go. Then he immediately says to me, will you go for them? I'm like, will I go for them? I don't know what we're doing here, Lord. But once again, if you say I need to go, I'll go. Then he says a third thing to me. He says, will you go for them for 3 days? I'm like, wow, Lord, you're getting oddly specific here. I don't know what's going on, but yes, Lord, I give you my yes. I give you my amen. I will go. I'm so convicted in this moment that I get up, pull myself together, and I go to the ER. And I get checked out. And it turns out that I have swine flu. And I'm like laughing in this moment because I've heard about swine flu before, but I've never caught it. And it's been around for quite some years. And I'm like, wow, all this time later, I finally got swine, I'm thinking. But I feel fine. They give me a little bit of breathing treatments and stuff, write a prescription, and nothing seemingly happens. Aside from I run into this man, this older gentleman, with an oxygen tube on the bed, and he starts talking to me, and then all of a sudden he reminds me about the love of Jesus and about when Jesus wept and how he believed that Jesus was crying for us all. And I leave and I go home. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I faithfully went. I'm not understanding, but I went, Lord. Fast forward 7 weeks and 3 days. I wake up from a dream. In this dream, I'm in a doctor's office, and I've got a bandage around my eyes, like gauze, like something you'd see on a soldier if you had a head wound. But I knew I didn't have a head wound. I knew it was there to keep me from seeing what was happening. And the doctor has my hand in his hands, and he's doing something to my palm, but I can't figure out what he's doing. So I'm trying to maneuver around to get this bandage to move so I can peek out from underneath. And as I finally get it to move and I peek out underneath, I see that on the palm of my hand is tattooed Isaiah 41:10. And the doctor's taking these little silver pins and these extra skin, and he's trying to pin over and cover up the tattoo so that I don't know it's there. And I panic immediately, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but I need to get out of this place. And I try to come up with a plan, and I just end up going into like girly mode because it's the only thing I can think of. And I'm trying to tell the doctor, I really got to use the bathroom. Can I please go use the bathroom quick? Hoping that I can get out of there to find a way out. And he's being really mean. He's saying no. And then all of a sudden I realize that there's another man in the office with us. So now it's the doctor, another man, and me. And I'm still persisting with the same thing. Please, please, please let me go. I'll be really quick and I'll come right back in. And all of a sudden, the other man speaks, and he says, oh, just let her go. It's right next door. She could go to the bathroom, and then we could finish up and get this over and done with. The doctor ends up agreeing. I get out of this little examination room, and as I get out of the examination room, I realize that I'm not in a doctor's office. I'm in a school, and I'm really confused at why I'm in a school because I thought I was in a doctor's office. And the hallway goes in a circular motion, and I see all these young people, these young adults, like they're 20-somethings, and they're all wandering around aimlessly like zombies, and no one's talking, and they're not in physical chains, but I can perceive that they're in bondage, like they're in physical chains. And I'm trying to get them to talk to me and point me in the direction to get out of this place, and it's just to no avail. No one is communicating back with me. So I look and I see there's doorways to outside, and there's people roaming around in the same sense outside, all zombie-like, all young adults. But I make my way heading out there hoping I'm going to find somebody. And I end up running into this janitor, this older man. And I'm like, sir, sir, you need to help me. You need to help me. And I explain the evils that are going on. I'm like, there's bad things happening to people here. I need to leave. I need to go get help. And he goes, okay. He's like, look, he points me to the direction to leave. He goes, you're going to have to go this way. And he's pointing to this large field. He's like, go across this field, but go alone. You're going to have to go alone, he says, because it's less suspicious if you go alone. I can't go with you. Go run across this field. And when you get to the end of the field, you'll see two big fences. Hop those two big fences. And then you'll be in the clear. And I'm like, okay. So I start darting across this field. It's filled with all green grass and these tiny little hills. And I come up on these fences, and they got to be like 10 to 12 feet high. Two of them back to back. And I climb up the fences, and I jump over, and I land on the ground. And the second I land on the ground, I wake up. And I immediately know the dream is from the Lord. Like, I don't even forget a detail, and I'm like, whoa, what is going on here? And I'm not sure at this point. All I know is it's from the Lord, so I'm just praying, Lord, help me to understand what you're showing me. Help me to understand what you're saying. 3 weeks and 3 days later, from that moment, from when I woke up from that dream, which isn't coincidental because I realize in scripture, whenever the Lord uses somebody significantly or he's going to do something big, he always highlights it with the number three. It's almost like his fingerprint, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? So fast forward 3 weeks and 3 days, and all of a sudden I wake up in this morning, I'm going to head to work, and the Lord goes, you're not going to work today. And I'm like, okay. He's like, I need you. I had an appointment, just a regular physical appointment. He said, I need you to cancel the appointment. It was actually for my mom. He goes, I need you to cancel that. That's not important right now. At this moment in time, I have this gland in my neck that just oddly was swollen. And I couldn't figure it out, but I knew I should have it checked. But I wasn't panicking about it. He tells me, I need you to go get your neck checked out. He goes, but you can't go to the doctor, because if you go to the doctor, they're either not going to send you for pictures at all, or they're not going to send you for pictures right away. And I need you to go in and I need you to get pictures done today. And so I'm like, okay, all right. Once again, that's oddly specific. But he basically is letting me know I need to go to the ER. So now I have to call into work. And I'm like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? I feel convicted. I'm so... like, I need to go. The Lord said, go, that I don't even want to lie to work. So I just text them. I'm like, sorry, my gland is swollen. I won't be in today. Thinking that they're going to freak out on me. Like, what are you talking about? You only have a swollen gland. Come in. They don't end up doing that. They just text me back. Okay, no problem. Feel better. That was a miracle in itself to me. And I'm like, all right, the Lord is with me in on this. So now I'm getting ready to head out to the ER. My mom comes in. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to the ER. She's all in panic. She's like, oh my God, what's going on? What's wrong with you? I'm like, relax. I don't know. The Lord told me to go. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm just listening and I'm going. She's like, well, I'm coming with you. Now, my mom knew about the dream and stuff. So we're driving over to the hospital. I've got my regular worship music on. And right as we get to the hospital, the worship music not playing, the DJ on the radio station is speaking. Right as I pull the car into the parking lot spot, what's the one thing the person on the radio says? Isaiah 41:10. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and uphold you with my victorious right hand. And my jaw literally hit the floor. And I'm like elbowing my mom and I'm going, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. This is what that dream was about. That the Lord is confirming it. And she's like, whoa. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm like, I have no idea. All I know is that whatever's about to happen would naturally place me into fear. And the Lord's telling me not to fear, that he's with me. So let's just go. So I go, I get into the triage. I'm in there. They're like, hi, what brings you in today? I'm like, oh, I have a swollen gland in my neck. They're looking at me further. They're like waiting for me to tell them something else. And I don't have anything else to tell them. And I just kind of shrug my shoulders. And I'm like, God told me to come here. And I'm thinking, you know, what did you just say, Mandy? In today's world, you cannot admit that you hear another voice. They're going to put you into the mental ward and they're not even going to let you out. But once again, here I am by faith. She ends up pushing me along into the doctor area where the doctor will check me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe I just got through on just saying I had a swollen gland and God sent me here.
Sister Mandy, forgive me for interrupting, but yeah. We've only got 10 minutes left. Go ahead and wrap it up if you would.
Oh, goodness. It turned out after the doctor checked me that I had an air pocket that had come outside of my lung and that was going up my neck, that was millimeters from either choking me out or exploding and paralyzing me. But the thing was, I had received a call from God. I had received a call from God previously that I gave my yes and my amen to. And it was on this journey that I would realize that after the Lord carried me through the surgery, I had to go through lung surgery. They had to bring a specialist in who performed the surgery. And there was all these moments that happened during this time. And as I was in there, I realized and started piecing it together. And I asked the Lord. It was a higher call. While I was sitting in the hospital, I had this peace. I had this peace that surpassed all understanding. So much so that it had everybody walking over to me asking me, How did you know something was wrong? Typically, somebody in this condition doesn't know something is wrong. Well, you have so much peace. How do you have so much peace? And all I kept telling them was because God said, because God brought me here. And I kept testifying to him. And the whole dream that led up to this moment was about where the Lord would walk me through. The hospital and the doctor's office represented where I was going. It represented the lies coming out from the place. The people that I saw wandering the school was all the 20-something-year-olds who worked in that hospital that came up to me asking me questions to where my mouth would testify of God and his goodness. The field that I ran across with the green hills, it was the ease to which God would carry me through. The two fences that I hopped at the end were the two scars that I would bear on my left side for the call because I had to go in alone. I had to go through a physical invasion to my body for this call, not for myself, because I already know the truth. But we suffer all day long for others because they need to know. And God needs a people that's willing to say yes and amen into scary situations. But they're not scared. They're like Abraham. They're going up. They're bringing their one and only son because they trust God, because they know God that much, because God's peace did not move from me not one time throughout this whole entire experience. It blows my mind to this day. And there needs to be a people, a faithful people. God reminded me of Gideon and how he started out with 32,000 and then he winged him down. He said, send the fearful home and tell the ones who aren't afraid to stay. And he gets down to 300. Where are those faithful 300? Where are those ones right now in this hour that are willing to say yes and amen to the Lord? Because there is no fear with the Lord. There are things that seem scary in this world. There are things that as believers we're going to have to face. But with the Lord beside us, his peace will not be removed. That's where our strength comes from. That's how we walk through those situations. Unmovable, unshakable, because he's with us. He carries us through. And even that moment where he calls us home, we are going gloriously right before him. There's nothing to fear. And there needs to be a people who understand this, a people that are saying yes and amen and outstretching their arms and ready to lead the rest. Because there are so many people in fear right now, and the Lord's people do not need to fear. So I just ask, Lord, that you would help them to hear this message in the time frame that was given, Lord, and that you would speak to their hearts, that it doesn't matter that all hell's breaking loose. For you're God above creation, you're God above time, and you will promise you will not leave us, you will not forsake us, that you don't call us to go alone. You tell us that you are with us, that you will not leave us, that we'll hear a voice coming from behind us telling us which way to go, Lord. Help us to walk in boldness. Help us to walk in boldness in this hour, Lord, that when you say soldiers rise up, we rise up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whew. Thank you, Mandy, for sharing that. We've got about 6 minutes left. Brother Zoe. You mentioned earlier that you were at the men's conference. And I think Mark Driscoll did well to stand up, but he didn't properly identify the demon manifesting. There was no women at that conference that I know of.
Absolutely not.
It wasn't Jezebel.
The greeters outside, right.
What we had going on there was a homosexual spirit. Who would ever think to invite a male stripper into a congregation that's supposed to be strengthening the men of God that were coming together, licking a sword, swallowing the sword like deep throat, and shimming up a pole? What's going on here? Oof. What I'm really appalled of is that half the congregation didn't get up and walk out. They should have called John Lindell out, but I don't hold any hope that they're going to do that because he's affiliated with the Assemblies of God, the same group that doesn't believe a Christian can have a demon. And that's exactly what was missing in that conference, as in previous conferences before, is deliverance. The one thing that will get rid of these devils that were up there dancing on stage. I call that the homosexual spirit. John Lindell needs to repent. What was your take?
Well, my brother, like, I have, you know, some people that know this ministry and that are friends with them. So I didn't really know the depth of their friendship and how we were invited. So there's respect there with that ministry. But yes, Mark Driscoll, I follow, and I had been following him for a long time. Of course, he's an Elijah Fire and a prophetic ministry to help clean up the church, exposing Jezebel, Ahab, and all those demons that we know very well. But what I saw was, and the Lord gave me this verse regarding, he said, you cannot mix the table of the Lord and the table of demons. It's not permitted. And what they did is they set up a table of demonic before the Lord, and that is an abomination. So initially, when that whole thing happened, and there was a lot other things that happened. There were some other men there that were doing some power moves and some boxing and other carnal things that were going on. But like I said, a lot of the young men that were invited and that came, I think that they didn't even realize, honestly, that what was really happening. And thank God for Mark Driscoll to bring it out and to expose it, because he knew, he was calculated. God had showed him, he's been preaching this message a long time. He was friends with this man, Lindell, and he knew exactly the consequences. He said, look, if you ask me to step down, I will. I know I might not be invited back. So it was a calculated operation of Mark Driscoll. And Mark Driscoll has done things like this before, but it was necessary, because God is definitely separating the men from the mice. He's separating the church that's carnal from the true people. He's calling people out from among them to be thou separate, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. So there's an actual division, a plumb line being snapped to the ground. And God is separating his church. He's cleaning up. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So you got this church that's rising, this carnal church that's leaning on the arm of demons and flesh, and nobody can rebuke them, and they got Jezebel that controls their thinking, their money, their success. And you know, there was a lot on the line there. That's a big conference, and they were inviting others back. So God forbid anybody touch the golden calf, and then he's going to defend it. And to this day, he's trying to expose Mark Driscoll. He's trying to uncover his past.
Wait a minute.
He's
John Lindell has not apologized one thing at all. He's thrown Mark Driscoll under the bus. He lies about the Mel Stripper, said the man had children and was saved 10 years ago. The man's up on YouTube. That's, said, I'm not saved.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't blame the guy who's a stripper. He need to be there to get Jesus. But what would a man bring another Mel Stripper into a club if he does not have latent homosexual spirits inside of him? I'm like this in closing. When you begin to compromise the truth, sexual perversion is going to be the end result. And we see it coming out across the spectrum. Network owners, Christian networks exposed in adultery. Preachers going into prostitutes. Homosexual pastors is the order of the day. God is exposing. And we need to get our eyes off of trying to look for faults in Israel, and let's put an eagle eye on the church and get rid of compromise. Mark Driscoll's mistake was to compromise. He came back in and apologized later, apparently. No, he should have stood his ground. But I will give him,
yes, he should have,
you know, some credit for at least trying. We've got to go all the way and call these people out. They need to be disbarred, thrown out, until they submit for deliverance. They have no business behind a pulpit and bringing abominations into the house of God. That's my micro sermon. Zoe, Mandy, I want to thank you for coming on. Zoe, give out contact information for your ministry.
Yes, if you'd like to join us in the day of prayer, we're having a national day of prayer. We're gathering at the flagpole virtually on Zoom, and we're meeting in town here locally. You can go to thefinalcommission.global and sign up and check out what we're doing with the gatherings for praying for Israel, praying for the nation. We're going to be doing this every year. So I've been asked to run the regional local, you know, state thing. I'm working with the National Day of Prayer in Washington, some people that have allowed me to come into their network. So this is great. I'm rallying people for prayer. We're going to be praying for this country, praying for Israel, praying for the church, just praying, because that's what we need. We need to pray for one another, and we need to see God begin to clean up house here in this nation and around the world. So thank you very much, Shannon. I love you.
Love you,
Mandy,
too.
Thank you for coming. It was a great message. And, you know, Mandy, if you want to give out any information regarding you, do it quickly.
Abiding in the Vine Ministry. We have people on missions in Nigeria right now. You can find them online. And Forgiven Cafe is on social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you all next time. Yeah. Folks, I will not compromise when it comes to Israel or the King James Bible. There we are. No apology. Let's go to our next program. Stand by. We've got Brother Doug Perry coming up. I've been in the church 52 of my 54 years that I can remember. So I believe I have a right to comment. And I have seen what goes on in the church, passing as Christianity. And it's shameful. But know this, God is going to sort it all out before he returns. And I believe the great tribulation is for that purpose. It's to separate those that are the true believers from those that were only gave the gospel mouth service. Here we go. Doug Perry next. Stand by.